fellow Marvelites. You're listening to This Week in Marvel, episode number 534. I'm Ryan Panagos, a.k.a. Agent M.
And I have so many New Year's resolutions that I'm the all-new, all-different Lorraine Sink.
Ooh, wait, you have new Lorraine? We're 3 weeks into the year.
Yeah, you're supposed to do it for the whole year, Ryan. That's the point of a resolution. You're supposed to resolve to change as opposed to quitting after a week. But you know what? We haven't got through January yet. TBD.
I've done more Peloton strength workouts this year than I did last year. And we're like 2 weeks into it.
I'm doing my 305 fitness booty dance shake workout. It's so great. They're just like, you're the best you, girl. And I'm like, I am. Thanks, me.
Lorraine, did you know that this show is the official Marvel podcast where we talk about what's happening this week in Marvel from games, comics, movies, TV, or whatever the hell we want to talk about?
Yes, I did. But yeah. Also, did you know we just talk about the things that we like because we like them? Deal with it.
Yeah, seriously. We want to talk about the things that we want to talk about. And one of the things that we want to talk about is
Marvel Studios Moon Knight. We got the first trailer, baby. Ugh, I know I was thrilled to see it. I was also extremely tickled that they put it up on the night of the full moon. I was like,
oh,
synergy.
Nice.
Did you notice? Yeah.
No.
You got to get in with these moon rhythms, Ryan. I don't know what that means, but you know.
Please, someone put that on a t-shirt. Got to get in on these moon rhythms.
But then it's a picture of Moon Knight. But I have to say, it was very exciting last night. I go to bed very early now, and I was crawling into my little bed, and I saw the trailer go live, and I was super thrilled, super excited to see Oscar Isaac as Steven / Mark Spector.
Everybody's excited. People were talking about it. I'm very excited. And we also got a new poster, which looked rad.
Yeah, and I mean, and the hero shot at the end of that trailer, baby. Mm-hmm. Also, the poster was posted by Rodney Fuentebella, who is the VizDev supervisor for Marvel Studios, who's working on it. And if you guys aren't following at Rodney Images, do it. It's always exciting to see what the visual development folks from Marvel Studios post and the cool things that they work on.
It's going to be cool. It's going to be visually something really special. And we don't have to wait that long in the trailer and all the news that came out. We will be able to stream it March 30th only on Disney Plus. So get ready for Marvel Studios Moon Knight in less than 2 months, y'all.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so soon.
Lorraine, you know, something I realized that we didn't talk about within the last 2 weeks is we have hit the 1 year anniversary of the start of Marvel Studios' original series
that's
on Disney Plus with Marvel Studios' WandaVision. I saw a bunch of people talking about it. It was a year. And we've gotten so much cool stuff, and it feels like we're just beginning and so much is happening.
Also, another great thing to check out if you are into Marvel Studios series and films, Industrial Light and Magic has a couple of awesome videos over on Marvel.com right now. There's one that features pieces from Marvel Studios Loki, including Alligator Loki. And then there's also one for Marvel Studios WandaVision that's showing off some of the compositing that happened in the series. And they're now live on the Marvel YouTube channel and Marvel.com. And if you're not familiar with Industrial Light and Magic, they are a visual effects company that are behind so many of your favorite films from the Star Wars universe to the Marvel Cinematic Universe and beyond. They are phenomenal. And of course, remember, you can stream all episodes of Marvel Studios WandaVision and Marvel Studios Loki only on Disney Plus.
And ILM now follows me on Twitter, so hopefully we can do like a special VFX feature on me and trimming this mustache every week.
I don't think it's considered VFX to just like comb your mustache, but I could be wrong. No,
I don't
judgings.
Know. I'm not on the technical side of things.
That's fair.
Let's talk about some comic books, starting with the 10 Lives of Wolverine, because the first issue of this big X-Men story, written by Benjamin Percy with art by Joshua Cassara and a whole crew of people, it released this week, and it is dope AF. Now, maybe you heard about this. The first issue came out in comic book shops. It also came out on the Marvel app, but it also released day and date on Marvel Unlimited.
Well, what?
I know. This is the start between 10 Lives of Wolverine and X Deaths of Wolverine. Mm-hmm. They are really pushing the next age of X-Men stories forward. This is a place where if you want to jump in on what's going on with the X-Men, this is where you start. And so if you have a Marvel Unlimited subscription, you have no excuses. Just go read it. It's on the service right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly really, really cool because normally you got to wait at least 3 months for those new issues to come through Marvel Unlimited, but it's really cool to release such a big hot issue on the app immediately. That's so cool.
Yeah, as Paris Hilton would say, that's hot. There's also a companion Infinity comic for 10 Lives of Wolverine over on Marvel Unlimited. So we have the first issue of the series, but there's an Infinity comic, which is our really cool vertical scrolling series. There's going to be 10 chapters of this in total. Each chapter is going to show a few snapshot moments in Wolverine's life, all in chronological order. It is written by Jim Zub, art by Ramon Box, colors by Hava Tartaglia. And then you've got the big number one that came out this week for 10 Lives. You have the companion Infinity comic series, which started this week and will be releasing every week. And then next week is the release of X Deaths of Wolverine, also written by Benjamin Percy with art by Federico Vincentini and a crew of other amazing creators. So you're going to get 10 Lives, then X Deaths. And so starting from this week, we get a new issue of one of these series each week for 10 weeks, plus the Infinity comic series. So it's a lot of really cool Wolverine and X-Men stuff. And what I will tell you, X Deaths of Wolverine is a humdinger. It says Wolverine in the title, but there's a lot of X-y stuff in there. So
X-y stuff. Oh my God, I love it.
Right?
That speaks to my soul.
Mm-hmm.
That's three comics for the price of three comics, but it's all worth it.
I don't know that math actually checks out, but I like it.
Now I think we're officially ready to move on to Captain America number 0. It's going to kick off what's up next for Cap. Arnim Zola is going to launch into a catastrophic attack on New York City, where he meets his match in Sam Wilson and Steve Rogers. It's going to be a big explosive battle between two Captain Americas to prove which one might be better. Can't they both be great? We'll find out. It's definitely going to be an awesome one by Toshi Onyebuchi, Colin Kelly, and Jackson Lansing with Maria de Iulis on pencils. Sweet.
As the person who reads every single Ding Dang comic book that we put out, let me just tell you, Tochi is doing a really cool Black Panther series for us right now. He's also a novelist and a former Marvel intern. Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing just did the Kang series for us, which was really neat. And Mattia is, I mean, friggin' just crushing it over the last couple of years. There's a Jessica Jones series you can read where he did amazing art. And then most recently on some Jane Foster Valkyrie comics, which just looked beautiful. And so coming out of Captain America number 0 in April, we'll have two books from some creative teams we just talked about. We'll have a Steve Rogers title called Captain America Sentinel of Liberty, which is going to be written by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly, and art by Marvel Stormbreaker artist Carmen Carnero, which is going to look freaking great. And then the other Captain America book is going to star Sam Wilson. That will be Captain America Symbol of Truth, and that'll be written by Toshi Onyebuchi and art by Marvel Stormbreaker artist R.B. Silva, who, oh man, he's been doing some great, great work on Fantastic Four over the last year or so. Both of these artists are going to be crushing it. I'm very excited for this. So definitely check out Captain America number 0 when it releases in April. And then get ready for these two new Captain's America books. And there's also a video that you can see with some of the artwork and stuff for all this over on Marvel.com. Check it out. Get excited. Get hyped.
Oh, but let's not forget Taylor Swift's favorite unofficial comic, Deadpool Bad Blood.
I was like, has Tay-Tay talked about Deadpool?
They're not related. Deadpool Bad Blood is a smash hit first ever original graphic novel from 2017. And now it's going to be serialized in comics. It's going to be split up into four issues by some incredible writers. The one and only Rob Liefeld, Chris Sims, and Chad Bowers, with art by Rob Liefeld as well. This, if you haven't gotten a chance to check it out, definitely check it out in serial form. It's really fun. Wade Wilson has been shooting, stabbing, and otherwise annoying people for a long time. He's made a lot of enemies, but he just can't quite place the Thumper, who keeps showing up out of the blue to pound him into jelly. What is his past connection with a beefy face masher? I don't know. We'll have to find out. Go read the comic.
All right, let's move on to some more comic book stuff, because we just announced X-Men 92 House of XCII, which is House of 92 in Roman numerals. So it's a limited series that sees the return of the 90s incarnations of the X-Men as they tackle the groundbreaking beats of House of X. So, all right, If you think of X-Men 92, the characters, the world, the spiritual inspiration from the 90s X-Men animated series, so those costumes, those personifications of those characters, taking them and doing a story where they go through House of X, but how it would transpire in their universe, it's really friggin' cool. I'm very excited. This is coming out in April by writer Steve Fox and artist Salva Espin. Salva, just one of my favorites over the last, 15 years. Just so good, so emotive. I'm very excited to see how this pans out.
I love it. I want to see little Jubilee and
yeah,
Gambit, your favorite, and Rogue. Also coming out in the nearish future, as we've said many times over, we're celebrating Spider-Man's 60th anniversary all this year because, you know, when you have a 60th birthday, you get to celebrate all year long. That's how it goes. That's how we do it. And there are going to be some awesome, amazing Spider-Man variant covers. We talked a little bit last week about Amazing Spider-Man by Zeb Wells and John Romita Jr., which is coming in April. And now each new issue is going to support variant covers by a lot of incredible artists like Peach Momoko, Stanley Art Jam Lau, Travis Charest, Humberto Ramos, Mark Bagley, John Romita Sr., and lots more. It's going to be awesome. Definitely go check out those first six variant covers on Marvel.com. Get a little peeky peek because they are awesome.
Hell yeah. All right. That is lots of comic stuff, but there's still even more that we're hyped about this week, including Marvel's Wastelanders Black Widow. You can check out the first three episodes of this post-apocalyptic audio series, Marvel's Wastelanders Black Widow, starring Susan Sarandon. Check it out. Oh, you know what? How about hearing a sneak peek at Chapter 3, Subtext?
Let me prepare myself. I'm prepared.
So a man falls from the 121st floor not too long after Helen teaches yoga on that floor. I get the sense something fishy could be going on.
You're not lying to me, right?
When did anyone in this building agree to be spied on 24/7?
Stanley swam me over to an even fatter fish.
Who called?
It's my plumber.
His name is Bob L. Sasser.
Stan just mentioned it.
It's not drugs.
You liar.
They're listening to us.
Did you ever get the sense she was grilling Stanley?
That's easy to lose track. Which version is really you?
Judy Kress would like to see you.
What?
Lisa Cartwright.
Do you have anything to tell me?
Miss Black is...
You call her Helen, right? Addressing a mark formally is the easiest way to tip them off.
They don't want us to hear them.
It's called espionage.
As we've said, the cast is off the hook. We've got Susan Sarandon as Helen Black, Michael Imperioli as Stanley Petronella, and there's a whole bunch more really incredible folks. Maybe we'll have some of them on the show in the coming weeks. Maybe we're going to have on somebody next week to talk about the series. I don't know. You'll just have to stay tuned for next week. And of course, you can listen now exclusively on the SXM app and on Marvel Podcast Unlimited on Apple Podcasts. Episodes will also be widely available 1 week later on Pandora, Stitcher, and all other major podcasts platforms in the U.S. Learn more at marvel.com/wastelanders.
Mm-hmm. All right. It is time for our interview this week, and it is with a returning guest, buddy of mine, Megaran, who is a rapper and a Twitch streamer now, and just a ding dang delight of a human being. Joining me on this chat was James Monroe Iglehart, who needs to slow down. I'm just going to say that.
He's a busy boy.
He's in Chicago right now. He's hosting
the Broadway show, we should say, not the city.
Yeah. Oh, did you see? Friend of the show, friend of ours, Nick Walker, is back on Hamilton. He is playing Aaron Burr.
It's great. I love seeing all the cool stuff that those guys are up to.
Yeah. James and I talked to Megaran about Megaran's lifelong love of Marvel, how it influenced him, and then I forced the two of them to do a freestyle challenge because they are both amazing freestylists and rappers, and it was a whole lot of fun. Let's listen right now. James, it's a good day here on This Week in Marvel because we are joined once again by our pal, Megaran. Megaran, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Man, it is good to hear your voice again, bruh.
Man, likewise.
The two of you are dudes who do so much. James, you know I get on you every time we talk of just how friggin' busy you are. But you too, Megaran. I mean, like, you're always doing cool stuff, putting out new records. All the different things that you're doing is cool. But before we get into that, because it's been a little while since you've been on the show, for anybody who hasn't heard you on the show before, What is your Marvel origin story? How'd you first get connected to the Marvel characters?
Oh, man. Well, I was bit by a radioactive book that was passed down from my cousins. It was one of those, I think it was a what if, actually. I got a stack of books from my cousin who was like, I'm grown now and going off to college and we don't need to deal with those things anymore. So he hands me a bunch of books and I'm like, yes. And I start going through them and I'm finding all of my favorite characters. And then later on, the rest of the friends on my block from Philly all jump into the Marvel masterpieces, the cards, and that becomes the entire obsession of the neighborhood. We just go nuts trying to collect them all. So from there, I think for sure the cards, before I even read about any of the characters, I was learning their origins from the cards. And man, we used to hop a bus, maybe two buses, way out to the suburbs to a really cool comic shop that wasn't like all picked over, like the ones near us, you know? We'd go way out to the burbs and be like, all right, this is where I'm gonna get my good stuff. And we'd spend the whole Saturday just digging through, finding back issues and trying to complete collections. Man, it's been that way ever since. And it's particularly during pandemic, I've literally jumped back into everything I was into from cards on. I am 12 again.
That's so cool.
I'm buying packs again and like just as excited, yes, ripping them open. I'm like, yes, this is amazing, you know?
So as a brother who enjoys being a part of music and everything, when did you start making music? And how did you start making music specifically inspired by video games? I mean, that is something that is, there are people that do it, and then there are the OGs and the masters like yourself. In every form of hip hop, there's that foundation of that hip hop where people go, oh, it started with this. And dude, you are, when it comes to it, and also still one of the baddest cats to do it, it's you. So how did the music start and how did you start with this?
First of all, thank you. I think for me, it was, we all sat together making a bunch of songs, a bunch of friends of mine, and I would always include like some nerdy references somewhere within the song. Sometimes overt, sometimes kind of hidden. When my friends were like, hey, you can't do that in a rap song, where it would be like, what? That's a Street Fighter reference, or what? That's, you know, a Marvel character's secret name. And they're like, no, you can't do that. That's just not hip hop, son, you know? But later, you know, it just became a little more acceptable. And me, I just found that it was the best escape. You know, through music, we find a way to escape. And, you know, my initial rap name was Random, based on the Marvel character. So it was always in me from the beginning. And I think when I heard Protect Your Neck, the very first Wu-Tang song, Inspect the Deck says, swinging through your town like your neighborhood Spider-Man. And I was like, you know, I did the Leo DiCaprio meme at the TV, like, hey, he gets us. Like, he knows that thing that I know that I thought not a lot of people knew. So it just let me know that we weren't so different. You know, a lot of us hip hop kids and Marvel kids like are right in the same generation, right at the same time. You know, the 90s were just the greatest decade of all time. Yeah. And anything that came out of that was amazing. So, of course, it rubbed off on me and my music, from comics to games to anime, wherever I could fit things in that didn't feel like a stretch to me. You know, like if it felt natural, I just went for it. And after a while, my friends didn't say it was terrible anymore. So that gave me the courage to keep going, for sure.
Are you surprised by how much, I don't want to disrespect hip hop, but are you surprised how the lyrical rappers that are out now are doing that more? Throwing these nerd references in?
It's surprising, but you know, but at the same time, it makes me smile. You know, I'm just like, yes, like one of us, you know? Like, yes. I feel good about it for sure, you know? But a part of me does feel like a crotchety old man being like, well, in my day, you know, like, I got chased home from school for this stuff, you know? But I love it now. Like, now there's literally tens, maybe hundreds of like nerdcore rappers on YouTube that are like making incredible music that's, you know, first of all, high quality, but two, like getting hundreds of thousands of views based on their thing. There's a part of me that could be like mad and like, yeah, back in my day. But I'm happy about it, man, because these kids can be whoever they want to be now, which is awesome.
Right.
You know, I remember hiding a comic book inside of a Sports Illustrated, you know, to try to read it on like on the school bus or on the bus coming home. It was so uncool. But now like kids are reading manga, they're watching anime, they're very proud of it, they're cosplaying at cons. Like, it really warms my heart to see the generations get younger and younger who are like really loving this stuff.
you've been doing live shows for years and years and years. And obviously, pandemic most of the time shuts down a lot of shows, makes it really difficult. I know you try to do some tours and stuff like that. But what else are you doing to adapt to make sure you're getting out there, you're continuing to expose people to your music and what you're interested in?
Man, well, I stepped up my Twitch game for sure. We've started streaming almost daily now, where at least I do a couple of hours, whether it's playing a game, working, like editing a video, and just kind of chatting live with fans. We do a monthly concert, myself, MC Lars. We were doing monthly deals where we would get together on live stream and perform like sets that were themed by the month. So January, we did a snowman themed set. So like everything was just based around snow. So things like that were happening, but mostly the Twitch, that has helped out big time. And even now, you know, as long as I've been doing it, with me being an OG, a seasoned veteran, there are people who pop up on Twitch and like, dude, I've been listening to your music forever and I didn't know you streamed. Or dude, I never thought I'd see you live ever because I live in Australia and here you are on my TV performing live. So hearing those things, like literally every day that I stream, there's 10, 20 people who have never seen me saying that. And so that gives me the energy and the motivation to keep going, you know, where you're like, oh man, you're like, you think, oh, I'm an old guy and I've hit my ceiling of who I'm going to reach. And I'm just going to like talk to my friends and my fans. And these people are like, I've never seen you before. And this is great, you know, so stepping into new avenues for sure has been great. I've also been very lucky to get some really cool bookings. I wrote some music for WWE, for buddy Xavier Woods.
I'm sorry, King Woods.
King Woods.
Pardon me.
King Woods.
Hail King Woods.
Hail King Woods.
So like a lot of great opportunities have come like that, where I've been able to do some writing for other projects, working on some other things that I can't really talk about, but super exciting stuff. Soundtracking and all kinds of things. I've been making beats lot more. So hopefully, once the world is fully open, once we get a Unicron out of the way, we can see the fruits of some of those things that I've been working on.
When you're writing, because you are so creative, your lyrical dexterity is sometimes absolutely freaking ridiculous. I am a freestyle rapper, but you are a lyricist. But then I have to ask, how does your Marvel fandom and your fandom in general factor into your work? I mean, do you think about the characters or think about their storylines before you come up with a rhyme scheme? Or is it the rhyme scheme and then at the time you go, oh, this would work perfect if I put this Marvel thing in? How does all that work?
I think freestyling is what helps me with like dexterity and things. When I can't think of anything, that's when I just go off into freestyle land, you know? And whether they're words, phrases, or just a flow that comes from that session, you know, a lot of that stuff gets used, you know, for sure. Like sitting with the voice recorder the whole time that I'm writing things because, you know, there's a particular flow or an inflection that really works. And I'm like, keep that, you know? So I freestyle at live shows and a lot of people are like, man, that was so great. You rapped about the weather outside or about, you know, this thing. And I'm like, I don't remember that at all. But thanks. You know, it's like, it's literally like the Hulk where I'm like, I just Hulk out at that moment. And then I just come back to earth sweaty with my clothes tattered. And I'm like, did I do that? You know, and people are like, that was amazing. And I'm like, sorry, y'all, you know. But yeah, like it's really like that subconscious that just takes over when you're kind of freestyling. But that gives me like another place to go to find inspiration for sure. So yeah, when I'm doing character driven stuff, I'm usually reading about the character, you know, I try to treat it like a book report, but like a fun book report. So we're reading up, but then also going back into the psyche of the character. So it's like not things that you could read, but just what would this character think about this situation? And I was just reading Will Smith's book and he talked about like method acting and how he would jump into a character and go method for a while and how like that became dangerous for him. Like he was just so deep into another character that people around him were like, who are you? You know? And so I do that, but at a lesser scale. I didn't even realize it till I was reading that. But like I might spend a day just kind of day in the life of a character. Where do they wake up? How do they wake up? What's happening? So I guess it's sort of a bit of method acting that comes from creating these songs. And it's fun, man. It just gives me a chance to escape, to jump out of my boring, crazy life into something different, you know? So that's what helps me to nail a lot of these things. But I'm also thinking about important things of performance elements like humor. Like, you got to hit something funny. You got to hit something that'll grab them and last.
You always do. That's the thing that gets me. Thank you. That's what makes it so much fun.
The last thing we had done, I did this little like WandaVision freestyle. And we were just like, all right, well, the show is amazing. There's so many great things I can use and like parallels. And then when I started writing, what rhymes with Maximoff? And then I'm like just starting to think. And at the beginning, it's just like, all right, this feels kind of rigid. Like I'm stuck to an exact three syllable Maximoff rhyme. And then I'm like, no. I can stretch it. I can bend a little bit. I can have some fun. I can step outside of that. So it really like helped me to create something that's not only like accurate, at least I hope so, but fun is the most important element for me.
We're going to talk more about freestyle a little bit because y'all are magicians, but we'll get into that in a little bit. Your latest record was Live 95, and it opens with these NBA Jam vibes. And when I put it on the first time, I was like, that feeling of your body reverting to a different time. And I could like close my eyes, picture the comic shop that was on Meacham Avenue in Long Island, where I would go into the back of this comic shop. It was a terrible comic shop, but they had the NBA Jam cabinet there, and it was just like that vibe comes right off, and then boom. And I'm not even a big basketball guy, but like that was rad. Tell us a little bit more about this record.
Yeah, Live 95 just came from, like I told you, we were doing online shows, and the March online show, it's like inspiration comes from this, the wildest place. So the March show, we decided, okay, so it's St. Patrick's Day in March, so this theme is going to be famous people named Patrick. And this sounded ridiculous. So the guys started picking like Patrick Stewart, Neil Patrick Harris. And I was like, oh, no, I'm going to do Patrick Ewing.
And yes.
And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do an entire rap set themed around if I were Patrick Ewing. And this was a bit of a stretch. So I build this story where Patrick Ewing retires after losing to Michael Jordan too many times in basketball, that he decides to attempt a rap career.
Isn't that what happened? Yeah,
basically. So he gets tired of it, and then he decides to become a rapper. And so... So through this silly story, I'm rapping my songs, but as Patrick Ewing. And to do research for it, I had to watch a lot of 90s basketball. And I was like, man, I loved basketball in the 90s. You know, we had Space Jam, you know, there was Michael Jordan doing his thing, NBA Jam, all the great games, you know, the NBA Live 95, 96. And it just really took me back to a really warm and fuzzy place. I was like, oh, Larry Johnson, Grandmama, and like all these cool players. Yes. And so as I'm researching, I just fell in love with basketball again. I was like nonstop watching old games, watching old commercials, much like comics were doing for me. It just took me to a place of like innocence and inspiration. And so I started making notes, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to make an album that's kind of a love letter to basketball, kind of like how it was for me to do comics and video games. But I never touched sports really because I've, I don't know, as a nerd, we've always felt like, well, if we can't dunk a basketball, you know, we're not cool enough to be talking sports. But the 90s just were a fun time. So I just went back, wrote some songs, and had a really, really good time doing it. They say that nostalgia is undefeated. I read that quote somewhere. And I'm like, that's the truth. Nostalgia can tell you one of two things. It can tell you that your taste was bad, or it's just completely untoppable in your mind. So for me, yeah, like the 90s are just completely untoppable. So I just wanted something fun. It's a fun throwback record. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. And I had a lot of fun doing it. And man, we're lucky enough, the first week the album hit the Billboard 200.
Well done, man.
Thank you. There's been so many cool things, man, that have come from just doing this album. But most importantly, it was just me just trying to show love back to something that really meant a lot to me. So then I started collecting the basketball cards again. And I'm like, now I'm back into everything. But yeah, Live 95, in stores now, as they say.
This is a Marvel podcast. We've been talking about Marvel. So we have to ask, do you have a favorite Marvel character?
Well, this is tough. I got a few, though. My favorite growing up was always Havoc. Now,
Interesting.
I was an X-Factor kid only because my entire block was into X-Men. And I was like, well, I'm going to try something different. So I became an X-Factor kid. And that was how I discovered Random. He pops up in an episode. But I liked Havoc because, you know, being the brother of like the super popular dude, but like not quite getting your shine yet. I need some Havoc love at some point. I've always loved like kind of lesser heralded guys. So Strong Guy is another one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Cable's great. There's so many, but I think my top, probably Deadpool. I just, you know, we love ninjas, especially in the 90s. And he came with the straight super ninja vibes, you know, swords and guns. We're like, come on, you know, this is the coolest thing ever. So, yeah, X-Factor, X-Force were my jams for sure.
Nice.
Those are great picks. Nice. Yeah. Havoc has been in the Hellions comic book for the last like year and change. And some really good stories. Do you have Marvel Unlimited?
I do.
Okay.
I got to get on that.
Yeah, check it out. Hellions. It's really good, especially if you're a fan of Alex.
Nice.
You know, we talked about video games too. Do you have a favorite Marvel game of all time?
Probably Spider-Man. But you know, I will say, this might be an underrated response. Spider-Man on the PlayStation 1. Activision one.
Ooh.
That was my jam. Man, I want to go back and play that. I wonder how much that like held up, or was it just me stuck in that moment? Every Spidey game has always been good in its own way to me. The Sega Genesis Spider-Man game, I don't know if you remember. Side scroller.
My favorite.
Photos. Favorite. You know.
The ending of that game, Kingpin has Mary Jane hanging over a vat of acid. And if you lose, he drops her. As a kid, I was like,
that's messed up.
What is it? What am I going to do?
He's like, no, I lost Mary Jane. Yeah, I was a big Spider-Man. Even the Game Boy Spider-Man games were great. Like, so many Spider-Man games are amongst my favorites. I had a good time with the Black Panther DLC on Avengers. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those are probably my favorites.
So you've made music with some amazing folks, but if there was one Marvel character that you could like throw down with, like if you got a verse, they got a verse, and y'all just went back and forth, who would that character be?
Ooh, okay. You know what? I'd make it interesting. I would say the Hulk.
I knew you were going to say that.
No way, because I think like now my gears are turning for a concept, because having the doctor start off with some, you know,
I was thinking the same scientific stuff.
And then like as he goes on, like I get him angry, and then by the end Hulk is just rawr, you know. Oh man. The gears are we might have to collab on this one. This is interesting.
It almost lends itself to like a Jekyll and Hyde type of style. Mm-hmm. It's like if you're rapping and you're rapping with Banner, and Banner's trying to stay cool, and then you say something that like ticks Banner off a little bit, and Banner's like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you're like, well, you're kind of a nerd. I'm a nerd. But I'm a nerd. I'm a doctor. And next thing you know, it's like, oh, no, rah, 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 rah. Yeah. There's a whole...
Yo, that's a great concept. All right, and now I got to figure out how to somehow pull this off.
I love it. You know, we talked a little bit about freestyle stuff, and last time you were on the show, Megaran, you got into a little bit of a freestyle challenge. Yeah. I thought that was super fun. If y'all, the two of you, wouldn't mind doing some more of that to take us out.
I don't mind.
I'm always down for some freestyles.
Me too.
And okay. I'm going to back out because nobody wants me doing anything at all.
Actually, don't back out. What you should do is throw words to us, and we'll put those words into the rap.
Yeah.
So just like throw out a word or something and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Megaran, you're the guest. I'll let you go first.
Okay. All right. Well, Ryan, give me a couple of words, phrases, characters, whatever you're into, and I'll attempt to build a story around it.
Okay. Squirrel Girl. Latveria.
Damn. Ooh.
And telekinesis.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. I've been all over the world spitting these rhymes, but one time it boggles my mind how I can read any area from here to maybe Latveria, take it to various areas. When I come through, build it, read it like a terrier, eat it up, meet it up, then I break the world, climbing trees like a squirrel girl. Yeah, when you see this, it's like telekinesis. I drop like Reese's feces, no pieces when Megan's in the place to be. Yeah, nobody's facing me. Yeah, take whatever rhymes that I'm handed, turn them in with the cards. It's like a gambit. So when I'm playing, maybe like they can't handle it because Mega is the best. And I say that's scandalous.
Oh, that's nice. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for that.
All right.
Oh, I got to give you something too, James, huh?
Go ahead. We'll see if I can do that.
Okay. Venom and Wakanda and, let's see, Hulk Smash.
Cool. Ooh.
Got you. All right. So I look at my skin all up within, getting all this black, and I just can't get without it. Everything I look, I just want to bite and be about it. But when I think about how I'm going to get schooly crazy like Eminem coming through with these sharp-ass teeth like venom, you can't see me. It's like a symbiote inside my soul coming through. I've basically lost control. But when I cross my arms, you know I got to be around it, coming through like Wakanda saying, I'm around it. But when I see it, I can't let it last. I come through taking MCs, and I'm like, Hulk Smash, bringing them down, making them green with envy because they all want to try to get within me, but they can't get it because I'm like Black Panther coming through all around it. But I am the anthem that you want to sing to, you want to bring to everything I'm rocking the brothers want to sing to. Try to get on this J Solis back when I come through with Mega Ran as we kick these freestyle raps on what? It's the Twim interview show coming through again so everybody will know. How do I do it? Just call me Venom, baby, coming through with this. And yo, you want to get a synonym of what I am? This is true. They call me Wakanda through and through.
Woo! Ooh. Hell yeah, boy.
Oh, love it. Bars.
Like, honestly, dude, it's like, I don't know. I don't understand it. It's like when I watch an artist draw comics, I'm just like, you are not from my reality. When I hear y'all do that, I'm just like, my brain doesn't work that way. I love it. Thank you for doing that, both of you.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's pretty amazing, especially like watching people draw comics. Anybody that can create something from thin air, man, like that is straight mutant powers. Like, to me, like it blows my mind.
When I'm at the cons and you walk by and you see people drawing, you're just like, wow. The fun part is I feel the same way about storylines. You know, it's like that came out of someone's brain. Like, you know, you mentioned Venom. Something as simple as we just wanted to see Spider-Man in a different suit. We just wanted to see Spider-Man in a different suit. The fact that they want to see him in a different suit has created this whole line of symbiotes. This whole storyline that has lasted for over 20 years is just all came from somebody said, can Spider-Man be in a different suit? and now here we are with this. Yeah. Yep. It's incredible. But, so you know, cool. Mega Ran, dude, the stuff that you do and how you do it is incredible. And thank you for being a friend to us and being a friend to Marvel and also being a friend to hip hop. Just for always just keeping it real in both the nerddom and also the straight hip hop. It's awesome what you do, man. It's really, really cool.
No, thank you guys, man. It's awesome what y'all do, man. Especially James, man. You're always an inspiration, man. Seeing you rock star all over this world. Man, this dude's a freaking Jeopardy question. Like, come on, man. Come on. You're a Jeopardy answer. Like, that is a level of epic that I can't even begin to fathom.
All I'll say is I was literally just like, what the hell was that? Really? I was at home reading a script, and all of a sudden my phone blew up. And so I finally go back and find it, and there's Anderson Cooper, and he says my name correctly. And I was like, oh my God, Anderson Cooper said, I'm an answer on Jeopardy?
That's so dope.
Mega Ran, where is everybody going to find you and listen to your music?
Oh, you can go to MegaRan.com. It's got links to everything. MegaRanMusic.com, specifically if you want to jump right to music. They've got my tour dates as well there. I'm on Twitch, usually a couple hours a day, playing video games, DJing. I'm always into different themes, maybe wrestling music the next, maybe comic book based TV show music. I don't know. We'll figure something out for the next one. And on Twitter, at Mega Ran.
Once again, big thanks to Mega Ran for coming back on the show. Be sure to listen to his latest record, Live 95. You can also check out our previous interview that we did with Mega Ran along with wonderful rapper MC Lars. It's a bonus episode from September 25th, 2019. There are also some videos of that interview up on Marvel's YouTube channel from August of 2019, and we'll put links to all that stuff in the show notes for you.
Yay! But next week, we're going to have on Marvel's Wastelanders Black Widow writer Alex Delisle talking about some cool stuff for Black Widow. But I just think we got to ask the question on everybody's lips this week. What was your reaction to the Marvel Studios Moon Knight trailer? We want to know all your first thoughts, because there's nothing better than a brand spanking new trailer.
For a brand spanking new show. That's the most exciting thing. Yeah, so really cool. Let us know. You can tweet your answers using hashtag This Week in Marvel. Email them to twimpodcast@marvel.com or send a message to our Facebook page at facebook.com/thisweekinmarvel. Please always make sure to tell us it is okay to read on the show with every message you send.
All right. So last week we asked y'all, which candidate did you vote for in the X-Men election and why? You can still listen to the campaign messages that are on our TWIM feed or wherever you're listening.
All right, first up is Daniel Cordova at Daniel Cordova 69, who says Firestar, because maybe this could lead to the appearance of an amazing friend. Spider emoji.
Ooh, I love it. Aiden Coxon at Coxon Aiden said, I had voted for Firestar because she worked with Spider-Man and Iceman in the team of the Spider Friends. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Mm-hmm. Cass at BlackBat09 says, I voted Avalanche because I think the new era presents an interesting opportunity for redemption and bringing together mutants who used to oppose each other. Also, he just kind of rocks. Cass, I love that. Great pun there, because Avalanche's power is to move the earth and move rocks. Well said.
Next up, Andrew at Drewsty says, I voted for Avalanche because I thought it would be fun to have a former enemy on the team and for him to get the chance Pyro has with the Marauders.
I love this. I love a good redemption story. So very cool. Omega Level Queer at We Are the Muses tweeted, I voted for Gentle because I think the intersection of his identities, Wakandan and Krakoan, is important to explore given the relationship between the two countries. Yes, also, Gentle does appear in the current Black Panther series. So, go check that out.
Yeah. Next up, we got Cheese, a cheesemonger, who said, I voted for Gorgon for three main reasons. One, I just really like Gorgon as a character. He's my second favorite mutant. Two, his powers would bring an interesting dynamic to the team. And three, the angle on him being a former villain would be interesting.
I love Gorgon. I think I agree with all that stuff. And also seeing where Gorgon is after everything he went through during the Ten of Swords event. Very interested in how all that's going to shake out. Also, Cheese, let us know who your number one favorite mutant is. I'm curious. Dan at DanParker_ tweeted, I voted for Armor because she's been in the X-Men vote since last year. Also, I think her unique ability can really help the X-Men members. She even saved Storm once. She deserves it. Armor rules.
Heck yeah. Bruno M. Melix at Bruno Melix says, Armor because I was sure Penance would win. Then Penance because she was losing to Firestar. Monet had one of the richest backgrounds, elements, and bank accounts of the franchise. Muslim, black, psionic, powerful, posh, smart. We need her.
She rules. The choices were really good this time anyway, so that's pretty fun. Multiverse of Himbos at Spicy Star Ho. These names are so good. Multiverse of Himbos tweeted, Monet because it is what she deserves and what the team and everyone needs. Some penance.
Yeah. Ooh. Cassidy Knight at Kickassity said, I voted for Teresa Cassidy /Siren, not only because we share a surname, but because I love her depiction as a real person struggling with real issues. She's a mirror reflection, not always in ways I want to admit, but it's helped me grow as a person. Aw.
All right, we got a Facebook message from Seth Elmore in here, who followed up on last week when he was talking about New Warriors comics. He got to pick up and read through the entire Forever Yesterday story. It was wonderful. He says, I've currently stumbled upon new things related to the New Warriors, also other comic titles, called an annual. From what I've read, it's a method of tying in stories that don't fit within a regular issue comic. They're longer and they come out once a year, hence the name annual. I didn't know if you would be able to help me with figuring out when to read them, where the three New Warriors annuals fall throughout the regular issues. On top of that, each of them is part of another series, like the first one is part two of Kings of Pain. Can I still read the annual without the context of part one, or should I read that to better understand? And Seth says, sorry if it's a silly question, but I'm learning as I go and I'm loving the comic so much. Thanks for taking the time to read this. Seth, that is not a silly question whatsoever. I will agree. It is a very confusing thing, especially if you are new to comics as you are, or if you are reading especially older comics. Mm-hmm. We don't do annuals as often anymore, but when we used to do them more regularly, they would often be parts of larger crossovers, as you mentioned. So finding the place where they go can be a little tough. So for anybody out there who doesn't know, Seth sort of explained it, an annual comes out once a year. Oftentimes they are larger sizes of comic books, so they'll maybe be like 64 pages or 50 pages or whatever it is. They may include a main story and a bunch of backup stories. Seth is talking about the New Warriors comics from the 1990s, and so in those you would often get like maybe a couple of pinup pages, you would get some extra bonus things. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there. And so these annuals, particularly these three annuals he's talking about during the first couple of years of New Warriors, they do fit in kind of in various places. They're kind of iffy. So I'm looking at New Warriors Annual number 1 came out the same day as New Warriors issue number 13. So from a continuity standpoint, it kind of fits around number 13, but it is part of a crossover. I would say if you want the full story, you should probably read the other crossovers. Also, the cover to New Warriors Annual number 1 is drawn, the art is by Mark Bagley and Mike Mignola together. That shouldn't be allowed. That should be like breaking the world. And I'm looking at this. This one has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like 9 stories in it. So it's a big ol' issue. New Warriors Annual number 2 came out between issues 26 and 27. Annual number 3 came out between issues 34 and 35. So you can read them in there, but if they're parts of crossovers, I would read the full crossover just to get some context of the overall story. But annuals also are just fun. They're like bonuses, right?
Yeah, a lot of times they just stand on their own anyway, because they have lots of little stories and fun things in them. So at the end of the day, it's comics. You can't do it wrong. Just enjoy yourself. You know, I know we all like to know continuity of things, and it's easier to understand things when we read them in order. But I also think sometimes we fret on, well, do I have to read it in the exact right order, in the exact right way? It's like, none of us did that as kids and we were fine.
I am currently going through all the 1980s Transformers comics from the US and the UK, and I've had to find 4 different reading orders to see how they fit in together continuity-wise, and they're out of order from like where they take place and what you're supposed to read them on, but that's just me.
That is very you. Next up, we have an email from Leo Krause, who says, hey, Twim hosts, I voted for Surge because I feel like she is the Thor of the X-Men, and I'm a pretty huge Thor fan.
I saw that email come in, Leo, and I was like, ooh, the Thor of the X-Men. I would love it if you could elaborate that one, because Surge is rad and powerful, but like, that's a glow up I want to see. We got an email from Grayson Wasnesensky, who said, hi, Twim Podcast. I couldn't vote in the X-Men election, but I would choose Gentle because Wakanda forever.
Yeah. All right. We got an email here from William Rose, who said, hi, Twim hosts. My X-Men vote pick is difficult because there is a lot of representation to pick regarding their nationalities and their story arcs that haven't been properly resolved. The 6 candidates of the 10 are mutants of color, but I have 4 days, 1 per vote, to pick a good one. My day one has to be Gentle because he branches between Krakoa and Wakanda. For days 2 and 3, Surge in armor, since representation for Japan, and tech genius Bling representing for the US for day 4. However, on all of these days, I used my other devices to vote for both Firestar because she's interesting in the fact she hasn't explored her life around other mutants, just working with the government, and then Monet Penance herself, Monet St. Croix. The two are the pressure cookers, but if I want to get down with the future UK diplomacies, I have to be sure to bet on Micromax. Can bring an X-Men team that represents the rich, the poor, the middle, and invisible societies of Europe. With that said, good luck this coming June before the Judgment Day arrives. And Excelsior.
I love the rationales behind everybody's votes and stuff like that. I almost voted for Bling because I wanted to see more LGBTQ plus representation on our teams. But I mean, like I said, lots of great possibilities all throughout all this. All right, everybody, that's it. This episode of This Week in Marvel is produced by Zachary Goldberg, Isabel Robertson, Lorraine Sink, and Ryan Penagos.
Our senior manager of audio production and development is Brad Barton.
Jill DeBoff is our director of audio.
Special thanks to our sponsor, Wolverine's Tambourines. Wolverine's Tambourines. They're more loud than you can shake a knife hand at. Wolverine's Tambourines. Get one today.
You just heard Lorraine break, everybody. I'm Ryan.
I'm Lorraine.
And this is Marvel.
Your universe.
Scandalous.